Now, as gunshots echo across the windswept, snow-covered reaches of the wild Northwest, Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, the breakfast cereal shot from guns, present Sergeant Preston of the Yukon. It's Yukon King, swiftest and strongest lead dog of the Northwest, blazing the trail for Sergeant Preston of the Northwest Mounted Police in his relentless pursuit of lawbreakers.
On King! On, you Huskies!
Gold. Gold discovered in the Yukon. A stampede to the Klondike in the wild race for riches. Back to the days of the gold rush. With Quaker puffed wheat and Quaker puffed rice, bringing you the adventures of Sergeant Preston and his wonder dog, Yukon King, as they meet the challenge of the Yukon.
There's no one that can make a better cereal than Quaker puffed wheat. It's neat. And when you hear that shooting, you're darn tootin'. The Quaker makes the ones shot from guns.
And why not make breakfast a bang-up meal every morning? Pour out a bowl full of the ones shot from guns. Delicious Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice. They're actually exploded up to 8 times normal size. Puffed to perfection. A deluxe treat with milk or cream and sliced bananas. So tomorrow, reach for the big red and blue package of crisp, delicious Quaker puffed wheat or Quaker puffed rice. Johnny Hamilton's trading post was in the forest about 10 miles north of Grand Ledge. He woke up one morning to learn that his assistant, Lou Wilson, had absconded during the night, taking $500 in cash. Johnny left his mother in charge of the post and drove into Grand Ledge to report the robbery. It was agreed that if he didn't find the Mountie there, he would go on to Dawson. So Mrs. Hamilton wasn't exactly worried when the hours passed and he didn't return. Her thoughts were with her son constantly, however. Otherwise, she might not have wondered why a single Indian didn't appear at the post to trade. No one entered the store at all until the afternoon light began to fail and a traveler stopped his team outside.
Good afternoon, stranger. What can I do for you?
Howdy, man.
The man's beard was touched with frost, and his dark eyes were shadowed by the hood of his parka. But Mrs. Hamilton was sure she had never seen him before.
Is there anything you want?
Well, a little tobacco, maybe, kid, if you have it.
Why, yes, there doesn't seem to be any on the counter. Would you mind bringing that stepladder over? There's a carton on the top shelf.
Oh, I'll get it for you, ma'am. Here it is.
Well, that's so kind of you.
So you run this store all by yourself, huh?
Oh, no, it's my son's post. I'm just tending to business while he's away. It's the carton with the blue label.
Oh, yeah.
Reach in and get a half a dozen packages.
Right. Does your son leave you alone much?
No, I expect him back in a minute.
Well, a post this size, he should have someone to help run it. Besides you, I mean.
Well, as a matter of fact, he did until this morning. He had a man named Lou Wilson working for him. Lou turned out to be a thief. Lit out with all our cash. Over $500.
Oh, that's too bad. I was wondering if I might stay the night.
We have a cabin for travelers, the second one. It's $2, and I'll give you supper and breakfast.
Oh, that suits me fine.
Just a second.
What's the matter?
Time the lamp was lit. There.
Well?
I thought so. There was something about your voice. After all these years.
You haven't changed much, Mary.
I'm 45.
So am I.
20 years. It's only your eyes that are the same. You've changed a great deal, Harry. And of course, with a beard, it's no wonder I didn't recognize you. Did you know when you came here?
Yes. Someone in Dawson happened to mention a trading post run by Johnny Hamilton. I asked questions, and finally there was no doubt in my mind. What brought you here, all the way from Wyoming?
You sent us here, Harry.
What?
You deserted us 20 years ago.
You haven't been here that long.
Johnny was 5, and he grew up with the knowledge that his father was an outlaw.
A famous outlaw, Mary.
That made it worse. Everyone knew he was Harry Hamilton's son. And when he was 15, you were caught and sent to prison. That made him a convict, son.
Yes.
When he was 20, he came up here.
5 years ago.
He sent for me last year. You ask me why we're here. Now you have the answer. You.
I'm sorry, Mary.
Sorry?
I've paid my debt to society. I'd like to pay my debt to you and Johnny.
As if that were possible. How could you possibly make up for the years of heartbreak and shame? I'm not talking about myself, you understand. It's Johnny's heartbreak, Johnny's shame. Making him give up his home and his friends. Making him come here to this wilderness to escape from you. What can you do to make up for that?
Well, I could work for him.
Oh, no, he hates you. If you ever met face to face, I believe he'd kill you.
He need never know who I am. I don't call myself Harry Hamilton anymore. It's Harry Harding. And you didn't recognize me. Why should Johnny?
How could you ask such a thing?
I'm only asking for a little forgiveness, a chance, Mary.
It's impossible. Now get out of here before it's too late. There's murder in Johnny's heart where you're concerned. If he should ever find out, he would... It is too late. There he is now.
You needn't tell him who I am.
But if he guesses, he...
Good luck, Mom. Sergeant Preston drove into Grand Ledge while I was there. He's come back with me and he...
Hello there.
Howdy, son.
What's wrong, Mom?
Oh, nothing. This traveler just stopped in for some tobacco. Here it is, sir. 10 cents, please.
Oh, thank you. And I'd also like to stay the night.
Of course, the second cabin. The cot's all made up and there's a fire laid in the stove. Mom will call you for supper.
Your mother's told me about your assistant running away. If there's anything I can do...
No, the sergeant's taken over.
Oh, where is he?
In Lou's cabin. Looking for something that might give King the scent. If anyone can pick up the trail, it's King. Oh, here they are now. Well, Sergeant?
Nothing there. Well, hello, Mrs. Hamilton.
Hello, Sergeant. How are you, King?
And Harry. Well, surprised meeting you here.
Well, just taking a little trip, Sergeant. I haven't introduced myself to Johnny. The name's Harry Harding.
I'm pleased to meet you. Sergeant, you've been looking for something that Lou wore a lot.
That's right.
I should have remembered. He left a park out in the kitchen, a white fox park.
Oh.
I'll show it to you.
Listen.
Those are drums from the Indian village.
They sound like war drums.
That couldn't be. Our Indians on the warpath? Never. Would you like to see the parka?
Yes, if you please.
This way.
You mind if I come along?
Not at all. Mom, we can't let the sergeant and his team hit the trail without giving them something to eat.
I should say not, son. I'll have supper ready in 10 minutes.
I'm not promising that King will be able to pick up a trail around here. There's been a lot of snow since last night.
Well... Here's the parka.
Oh, beautiful pelts.
Good for show, but not for go.
Yes, it's heavy.
He always wore a drill parka when he wanted to travel fast.
Here, King. Here, boy. Get the scent. Fine fella, fine.
He's starting for the store. Lou was in there last night just before he left.
He's coming back.
And looking at the outside door.
There's someone out there.
An Indian was lying in the snow just outside the door. He was trying to raise himself to his feet, and the sergeant and his companions could see a red stain on his caribou jacket.
It's Wimago, the head man of the village. He's been wounded.
We'll continue our adventure in just a moment. Say, fellas and girls, I can hardly believe it, but somebody gave me a magic word. And if I whisper it 3 times, I'll be able to talk to dogs and understand what they say. Gee, why don't I go over right now and talk to one of Sergeant Preston's team of huskies? And here goes. Abulikazar! 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 Hey, you're a friendly-looking husky. Hello there.
Hi, Bub. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been wondering how you Huskies like to pull a sled behind Sergeant Preston's dog, Yukon King.
Why, I'd pull my head off for King. He's the greatest lead dog in Yukon.
Sounds as if you like your job as much as I like mine.
What do you do?
Well, I tell fellas and girls about the swell-tasting breakfast cereals shot from guns. Delicious Quaker-puffed rice and Quaker-puffed wheat.
Did you say shot from guns?
Yep. They're exploded up to 8 times normal size. So they're bigger, better tasting, and full of bang-up nut-like flavor. Crisp as can be, too, because of the sealed inner lining in the package.
At times, it might be worthwhile being a human instead of a husky.
And when it comes to nourishment, fellas and girls, Quaker-puffed wheat and Quaker-puffed rice furnish extra food values of restored natural grain amounts of vitamin B1, niacin, and iron. Yes, you get a delicious and a nourishing breakfast treat when you eat Quaker-puffed rice or Quaker-puffed wheat. The breakfast cereals shot from guns. Now to continue. Sergeant Preston lifted the wounded Indian in his arms and carried him into the post. Johnny led the way to his own bedroom, and there the sergeant stripped off the stained jacket and found a bullet wound in the shoulder. By the time he had dressed it, Wamago had recovered his strength and was able to speak.
Sergeant Preston, it's good you here.
Who shot you?
Tuggish.
Tuggish?
Well, he's the renegade who was sent to jail for manslaughter.
Yes.
Him come back to village. Young braves, them listen to Tuggish, not to Wamago. Them go on warpath.
So he's up to his old tricks of inciting a rebellion.
Indians want Lou Wilson.
What's that?
You not know, Johnny, but Lou cheat Indian many time. Last night on trail, young brave and Natu meet Lou on trail. Them make big talk, fight. Lou shoot.
He killed Natu?
Natu hurt plenty bad, but him get back to village. Tell Indian Lou shoot him. Then him die. Me say this case for police, but Tuggish there, him speak in council. Him say police no good. All brave turn away from my words. Tuggish shoot me. Them come down here plenty soon. Them want Lou Wilson. You let them take Lou, maybe them go away.
But Lou isn't here.
That's why he ran away last night. He knew the Indians would be after him.
He knew the law would be after him.
Chief, Lou's run away with all our money.
That plenty bad. Indian not think so.
Huh?
He means the Indians will think we're lying if we tell them he isn't here.
Well, let them search the place.
That would be dangerous. Remember, we're dealing with Tuggish. I know the way his mind works. He's using this murder as an excuse to start a full-scale insurrection.
Him say, this land belong to Indian. Indians must make law, drive all others out.
You see? Let them in here and they'd kill us all and loot the post. After the young braves had a taste of looting, Tuggish would march them on to Grand Ledge.
But what can we do? Leave the post and let them loot it?
No, Johnny. Board up the windows and fight them off.
For how long? We don't have much ammunition.
I'll get word to Dawson.
How?
By King. One word is all he'll need. Headquarters. He should be able to get there in 3 hours. I'll write a note, stick it in his collar. I'll ask the inspector for every man he can spare. Do you have a pencil and paper handy?
On the table.
Get to work on those windows.
Right, Sergeant.
The sergeant's note was written and tied firmly to King's collar. Then the great dog was sent on his way.
Headquarters, King.
The great dog raced across the clearing.
Now for the windows.
All the windows in the post, two in the store, one on either side in the bedrooms, the two in the kitchen, were boarded up completely, except for a small opening to sight and shoot through. Ammunition cases were opened, and all the available rifles were loaded. The preparations for the defense were completed. Mrs. Hamilton, arguing her long experience with a rifle in the West, insisted on taking her post at the window in her bedroom. Johnny was assigned to the store, Harry to the other bedroom, and the sergeant stayed in the kitchen. A constant watch was kept on every angle of the wide clearing in which the post was centered. Soon the Indians made their appearance at the edge of the forest at the rear of the post. The sergeant called everyone into the kitchen.
There only seemed to be about 15, 20 at the most, the young braves Wamago spoke of.
Wilson!
Wilson isn't here. I'm telling you the truth. This is Sergeant Preston. Go back to your village. Wilson will be found and arrested. Leave him to the law.
Doggish's work. He refuses to let them listen. Now hold your fire. Wait until you have a target before you shoot.
Doggish can persuade them to charge.
They must cross 50 yards of open ground before they reach us. We can stop them.
That takes care of one of them.
Here they come, all of them.
The first charge was driven back after three Indians had been shot. There was another lull, this one lasting nearly half an hour. And from the movement of the Indians in the forest, it could be seen that Tagish meant to shift his attack to the front of the post. As a result, the defenders were in position when the Indians broke from the cover of the trees once more.
Get ready.
All set, sir.
This time, they nearly reached the post before they faltered and turned back. Six more Indians lay on the ground, not dead, but wounded.
Hold your fire.
And the sergeant ordered a ceasefire while they crawled back to the cover of the trees. Soon, two campfires could be seen through the trees. The Indians seemed to be settling down for a siege.
That's fine.
Yeah, the ammunition's getting low.
The longer they wait, the more chance there is of relief getting here in time.
The fresh snowfall cut down King's speed. And it was not until 10 o'clock that he reached Dawson and raced down Front Street toward headquarters. The sergeant had given him two commands that evening. One was to find the man who owned the White Fox Parker. The other was to go to headquarters. In King's mind, each were equally important. And when he caught the scent of the man in the crowd of miners on the street, he ran straight toward him. Lou Wilson was heading for the cabin of a friend where he meant to spend the night. He was startled when King suddenly barred his way, barking defiance. But only for a moment.
Get out of the way, you mutt. Get out of the way.
King refused to budge. And barked even more frantically. A crowd gathered around the man and the dog.
Let me get through there.
And soon Constable Downey pushed his way through.
What's going on
this
here?
This dog's trying to kill me.
Why, it's King. What's the matter, boy? Where's the sergeant? You?
That dog should be locked up or shot. He's a menace.
King wouldn't annoy you unless he has a good reason. Now, what's your name?
Lou hesitated. There were several men in the crowd who knew him by sight, so he had to tell the truth.
It's Lou Wilson.
Wish I knew what you were trying to tell me, King, but since I don't, there's nothing to do but... Hey, what's that tied to your collar? A note. That's from the sergeant.
The constable read the note by the light from a cafe window. Besides an appeal for help, it described the shooting which had led up to the crisis at the trading post.
So your name is Lou Wilson, and you've been working for Johnny Hamilton.
No, I'm a prospector.
You're lying. You're under arrest. You're coming to headquarters with me.
Shortly before midnight, Taggies led a series of attacks on the trading post. When the last of them had been repulsed, the defenders' ammunition was almost gone. Everyone inside the post knew the next attack must be the last. It was a long time in coming. Johnny and his mother sat near the stove, their heads bowed, their eyes closed. The sergeant stood guard at the window, while Harry was writing something at the kitchen table. He finished, folded the paper, and rose from his chair.
Sergeant,
yes, Harry.
Will you witness my signature? I just made my will.
Of course.
Thank you. Now, will you keep it for me?
If anything happens to you, the same thing will happen to me.
One never can tell. This is just in case.
Very well. I'll keep it for you.
You're tired, Sergeant. Let me stand guard a while, eh?
I'm all right.
We depend on your shooting, Sergeant. Give your eyes a few minutes' rest.
Well...
Just a few minutes.
All right. Call me if you see anything. Anything at all.
I shall.
The sergeant drew another chair up to the stove. He closed his eyes, only to rest them. But the warmth of the stove and his fatigue were too much for him. He fell asleep. He had no idea how long he slept, but he was awakened by the shouts of the Indians. Both Johnny and he jumped to their feet.
They're coming again.
Where's Harry?
Well, perhaps he's in the store.
The two men ran to the windows. There, halfway across the clearing, they saw a man wearing a White Fox parka walking toward the forest.
That's Harry.
Oh, no. No.
What's he doing?
He's giving himself up.
Oh, what for? Harry!
He's wearing the White parka. Perhaps he hopes the Indians will think he's Lou Wilson.
That's crazy. The Indians know Wilson.
Harry, come back here.
It's too late. There's Tuggy stepping out from the trees.
With a rifle.
Stand aside, Johnny.
You hit him, Sergeant. You hit Tuggish.
Harry's been hit, too.
It was true. Both the renegade Tuggish and Harry were lying face down in the snow. A great wailing rose from the forest. It died away. And then, from around their campfire, the Indians could be seen lifting their wounded and carrying them away in the direction of the village.
They've had enough.
Yes, more than half of them are wounded. Now they've lost their leader and they're through. I'm going after Harry.
Tuggish, the renegade, was dead, with two bullets through his chest. As the sergeant examined the body...
Harry hit him, too. No telling which bullet killed him.
Harry had also been hit in the chest, but he was still alive. And the sergeant carried him into the post, where he worked feverishly to save his life. He extracted the bullet and bound the wound. Still, Harry's eyes remained closed, his pulse faint, his breathing shallow. There was nothing to do but wait and hope. Then a chorus of barking filled the clearing as three sleds were driven up to the trading post, and a few minutes later, six Mounties headed by Inspector Conrad entered the post. The sergeant made a complete report to the inspector.
So you think the Indians have gone back to their village?
I'm sure of it, sir. Don't you agree, Wimago?
Now you punish them?
I don't believe they'll make any more trouble now that Tuggish is dead, Inspector.
That right. Some Indian die, many get hurt. Them learn lesson.
Will they accept you as their chief again?
Them glad listen to me now.
Then we'll leave that discipline in your hands. And you can tell them that Lou Wilson has been arrested and will stand trial for murder.
What's that?
Yes, Sergeant. And it was King who caught him.
King?
Picked him out of the crowd on Front Street and held him at bay until I got there. When I read the note you tied to King's collar, I arrested Wilson and found the $500 he'd stolen on him. That's all there was to it.
I told King to find the man who owned the White Fox Parka. When he caught his scent in Dawson, he went to work. Good boy, King.
Sergeant.
Yes, Mrs. Hamilton.
Harry's conscious. He wants to talk to you.
Good. Excuse me, Inspector.
Of course.
Do you want to speak to the sergeant alone, Harry?
No, Mary. Both of you. Please, come here. Sergeant.
Better not try to talk too much.
Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm done for. I want to tell you why I...
Why you put on the parka and left the post?
Yes. You said Indians would be all right without Tuggish. I thought maybe with the parka on, they'd mistake me for Wilson until I got real close. Then I was going to shoot Tuggish.
You did shoot him, and the Indians ran away.
Good. You saved us all.
Yes, you saved us all.
Good, good. The will, Sergeant.
I've read it.
The money, Northwest Bank. The claim on El Dorado should bring a lot. It all goes...
I understand, to Mrs. Hamilton and her son.
May I tell him, Mary?
Yes, Harry.
You see, Sergeant, Mary's my wife. Just a little something for you. At the end, Mary.
Oh, no.
Could I see the boy?
Yes, I'll call him. I'll tell him about you.
No, not now. Maybe sometime later.
Johnny?
Yes, Mom?
Please come in here.
What?
Harry.
Yes, Harry?
Will you shake hands, Johnny?
Sure.
Take good care of your mother, son.
We, both of us, we can't tell you.
No, never mind.
I only wish that...
What?
I only wish I had a father like you.
Do you, son? Good boy.
Sergeant.
He's gone.
Oh, no.
Great guy.
Yes. Quiet, King. This case is closed.
Mm-hmm.
Sergeant Preston will return in just a moment with a word about our next exciting adventure.
Check and double check.
Yes, check. And see if the whole family, from Junior to Grandma, doesn't prefer delicious Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat for breakfast. Check and see how much they like the toasty, nut-like flavor of the good, natural grain.
The sun-ripened flavor that Old Mother Nature puts into it.
These premium grains are never coated with factory sweetening.
And Mother will double-check on this.
Some of the family like their cereal not so sweet, while others like it ever so sweet.
Now here's the beauty of Quaker Puffed Rice and Quaker Puffed Wheat.
The whole family can sweeten them with sugar just the way they like them.
You bet. That's the way to enjoy the good toasty flavor of the ones shot from guns.
Remember, eat a better breakfast, enjoy a better day.
Check and double check on the way everybody in your family goes for delicious, crisp, fresh Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice.
And now, here is Sergeant Preston.
Reporting for duty, Inspector.
Sergeant, a man named Sam Savage has disappeared.
Sam Savage? Well, he's an ex-convict.
Yes. Now he's wanted on suspicion of robbing and murdering the owner of a gold mine. He probably knows that if he's captured, he'll hang.
I'll bring him in, sir.
Sam Savage knows he must flee the Yukon to escape the gallows. A two-time killer, he is surely prepared to kill again to reach the safety of the border. Don't miss this next exciting adventure. These radio dramas, a feature of Sergeant Preston of the Yukon Incorporated, are created by George W. Trendle, produced by Trendle Campbell Muir Incorporated, directed by Fred Flowerday, and supervised by Charles D. Livingston. The part of Sergeant Preston is played by Paul Sutton. Sergeant Preston of the Yukon is brought to you every Tuesday and Thursday at this same time. On Thursday, by Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. The breakfast cereal shot from guns. Boys, girls, hurry. Get this special brand new collection of 18 Braves of Indian Nations trading cards. That's 18 Indian trading cards. All different. All reproductions of original paintings of famous Indians. Set includes Arapaho War Dance, Hopi Snake Dancer, Blackfeet Buffalo Hunter, Sitting Bull Geronimo Crazy Horse, to name a few. Every card in full colors, stiff back, regular playing card size. These exciting Indian trading cards are not on sale in stores. They're offered only by Quaker Pakoten. That's Quaker Pakoten. 10 crisp, fresh individual servings of 6 different favorite ready-to-serve cereals. Remember, only Pakoten has wheat and rice shot from guns. And inside special new packages now at grocers, you get a sample Indian trading card free of extra cost. To get entire collection of 18 in a hurry, do this. But act fast. Supply is limited. Right now, tonight, send name, address, and 10 cents. That's only 10 cents. Together with money-back guarantee seal or special order blank, from bottom of Pakoten package. Mail to Indian Cards, Box 712. I'll repeat that, Box 712, Chicago 77, Illinois. This is J. Michael wishing you goodbye, good luck, and good health from Quaker Puffed Wheat and Quaker Puffed Rice. So long. Listen tomorrow at this same time to The Green Hornet, brought to you by the drink that makes you feel fresh again, delicious Orange Crush. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.